Good evening, hockey fans!
Hello and welcome to Clan Chat, the weekly show where we catch up with former Clan stars and hear their stories of their time in Glasgow. We're getting nearer to Christmas and as ever, our two Christmas crackers are waiting to join in. First up, the face of the Clan and someone very familiar in front of it. No, that's Jerry. Never mind, Jerry pulled out. Ignore that. The voice of the Clan, a man with the smoothest tones, and I'm willing to bet he's got an excellent singing voice as well. Top left-hand corner, Kevin McCoskrey. Kevin, looking forward to the festive period?
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit different. As for everybody, but you've got to make the best of it, and looking forward to celebrating it in a slightly different way.
Definitely. And in the bottom right-hand corner, the late substitute for Jerry, who's pulled out tonight, it's Matt Haywood, of course, the Clan captain. Matt, how's Christmas looking for you?
Yeah, good. It's nice to be got a bit of time on our end, so we're nice and prepared. And looking forward to it with the two little ones, and now Charlie's pumped for it, so yeah, it's good. It's exciting times.
Excellent. And we're in safe hands with our special guest this week, a man who spent 2 years at the Clan between 2013 and 2015, kindly taking the time to join us during his working day, even if he is working out of his basement right now. Former netminder Kyle Jones, bottom left-hand corner. Jonesy, welcome to the show. How's life treating you where you are right now?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. No, all's good. Same as Matt. Got a newborn in the house, so a toddler and a newborn. Two kids is definitely a game changer, but yeah, we're certainly ready for Christmas as well. I think we've had our stuff up since November 1st.
No, we're here to talk about your time at the Clan, but we'll touch on a few other things as we go as well. But 5.5 years on from when you last played for the Clan, Jonesy, how special is the club to you as you look back on your time here?
Yeah, I think it's no secret how much fun, you know, I had during my time there and how much I still relish in the from having the opportunity to be there, and anytime I get the opportunity to go back, I'm fully on jumping on the train there. But yeah, I can't, like you said, 5.5 years. I can't believe it. It seems like yesterday some of those experiences that we had, and sometimes I wish you'd go back and experience them all over again.
And of course, we spoke when you were coming over for Matt's testimonial last year. We had a chat at Matt's dinner as well. Just when I saw you last year, the smile on your face, I think, never really left you. You were just so happy to be back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, yeah, there was no way I was going to miss Matt's testimonial for anything in the world. So, and it was nice that it was such a decently long trip. I was there for, you know, 7 full days. So, always happy to be there and can't wait till the next time we can come back and Heidi can come and, you know, potentially bring the kids too one day.
Matt, tell us about Kyle. What was it like sharing the locker room with him?
Well, everybody knows how close me and Kyle actually are, and I can't say any bad words about, unlike Benny last week. I actually like Kyle this week. So, no, obviously, you're obviously a bit worried every season when the goalie comes in, and I guess you've got a bit of a reputation of being a bit crazy. And Jonesy came in, and I think, was it the first year you did your scoring, Jonesy? Was that the first year?
Yeah, for sure.
So obviously with his scoring, we kind of knew he had his head screwed on, right? But he's the most down-to-earth normal guy that you see on a daily basis. Like the way he spoke to fans is exactly the same as what he was in the room. He was just a nice, lovable guy who was very good at playing ice hockey and goal.
And Kevin, it's the same can be said for the fans as well. Jonesy was a guy that they took to their hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was quite a pivotal signing for the club, actually, because if you think of the year before, we had some problems, shall we say, in the goaltending department. You know, there was quite a lot of sort of instability there and changing goaltender halfway through the season. And it was probably seen as a bit of a problem position for us. I think when Jonesy arrived, it really kind of shored up things in that position and gave the defence a lot of confidence and also gave the fans a lot of confidence that we had somebody really credible between the pipes and was going to give us a good chance of success.
Were you the only goalie that was here more than 1 year?
I was actually just going to say that. Yeah, I was looking.
I think so.
Yep. Jonesy was the only guy, import goalie, who stayed for a second year. So what does that say about your enjoyment of the place, Jonesy, and the fact that Finner wanted to keep you for a second year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I think like towards the end of my career there, as soon as I played a year here, I was like, you know what, I'm finishing my career here. I don't have any desire to go anywhere else. I enjoyed my first year here so much, and the people and the team and the, you know, Finner as a coach and the fans and every aspect of it, that it was a no brainer to come back for another year. And then, you know, I don't want to play anywhere else. And I mean, just speaking to the fans, you know, they just welcomed me with open arms, and they just treated me so well and were so passionate about the team. You know, I played in some other places where fans are really passionate about their team as well, but you know, off the ice, it was just such a joy to meet most of them, and you know, just to be up in the concourse after a game was always so much fun.
Now, I want to take you all the way back, Jonesy, back to the start of your career. How did you get into being a netminder? How does that come about?
Yeah, I kind of had you know, I watched my dad play. That's essentially the short answer. He was always a goalie. He played men's league back home in just the suburb of Vancouver that I grew up in. So I'd always go and watch him play late at night on the weekends. And, you know, ever since day one, I always wanted to be just like my dad. So kind of followed in his footsteps in that respect. And the first time I gave it a shot, I couldn't tell you, I was maybe in, you know, second or third grade or whatever it was, and just ran with it from there. Just got a win. I remember that, and never looked back, never wanted to play any other position.
And when did you realize it was something that you wanted to do on a more professional basis? When did you realize you were actually quite good at it and wanted to do more of it?
You know, I had a pretty mediocre junior career in Canada. There was good and bad stretches, but I was afforded the opportunity to go play college at St. Norbert College here in Wisconsin in the U.S. And I played on some really good teams there and had some very successful seasons. I was there for 4 years and we had four really good winning seasons culminating in a national championship in my senior year. So once, you know, I realized, you know, things are looking better for me, I developed my skills throughout college and got to the point where I was actually being looked at by scouts and actually could, you know, make that jump to the professional level. You know, I figured I just have to take the chance and, you know, go for it.
Now, it's a specialist position. And, you know, certainly over here, I don't know what it's like over in Canada. You'll certainly be able to tell us more. I find, and Matt, you'll confirm this as well, as a player, you've got, certainly in you guys' case, Finner working with you day in, day out. Goalies, again, because they're specialists, that you kind of left to your own devices. You've got to work with the other netminder and sort of work each other, basically.
Yeah, I'd say so. Certainly at some, you know, some places you go and at certain levels of the professional game and certain levels of college, there's not always going to be a goalie coach. Typically, you'd have one in juniors in Canada. But, you know, I had one for a couple of years in college. And then, you know, a few places I went to playing pro did as well. But, yeah, it's just like you said, essentially the team essentially does their own thing in practice and goalies kind of take it upon themselves. They're going to have to take it upon themselves to kind of work on things that they know they need to work on and, you know, try to work with the coaches as much as possible to, you know, get guys out on the ice early if needed, stay out late to work on specific things. And yeah, it definitely is a partnership with the other goalie too.
Now, I was having a look back at your career, Jonesy, some of the guys you've played with in the past, two names stuck out at me, and I want to ask you about them. And one guy in particular, you'll know, Kevin, from your days with the Air Eagles. One of them, Rhett Gordon, you worked with at Colorado Eagles. What were your memories of working with Rhett? And Kevin, same for you, looking back at Rhett when he was in Air.
Yeah, I played with Gordo in Colorado for about half a season. And I just remember him being, it was after he played in Nottingham, I believe, or he might have gone right after. Anyways. He's just a really skilled player. It was towards the end of his career as well. He had, you know, a family that he was, from what I understood at that point, he was, you know, just looking for a place to finish out his career. And I just remember being quick, skilled, smaller guy, but, you know, a really good locker room guy too. And he was actually the guy who got me to Brayhead. He was shifting from a playing career to sort of an agent-like field and he had the connections in the Elite League, and he put my name out there, and he knew Finner, and essentially got me to Brayhead.
Kevin, what about you? Rhett Gordon, he was quite the player for there back in the day.
Yeah, he was. Rhett was one of the guys that came in probably, I think if I remember right, two or three seasons after the sort of Grand Slam team. But really, valuable member of the team, really, really good pro. But he was quite a young pro in those days. And it was really quite kind of almost a little bit emotional to see him back at Brayhead when he came with the Nottingham Panthers. And we had a good chat outside after the game. But the difference then, from being quite a young kid coming to Ayr back in the day, he was very much the kind of seasoned pro. And, he was probably, at that time when he was in Nottingham, he was probably some like 36-ish. He was well towards the end of his career. But it was great to see him again, and it brought back a lot of memories for me.
And does it surprise you, given what Jonesy told us about, Rhett's involvement in getting him to Brayhead, that Rhett would do that for him?
It doesn't surprise me that he would big up the British game. I mean, I guess Rhett would only play against the Clan twice, maybe once, because he only had part of a season in Nottingham. Mm. But I remember Rhett probably played against him once at Glasgow and once in Nottingham. So I don't think he would really have picked up a huge amount about the Brayhead Clan, but he would certainly remember what playing in the UK was like, playing in Scotland was like, and it doesn't surprise me at all. But he would certainly recommend it to Jonesy, and I'm very glad he did.
Of course.
Yeah, same here.
And John Landry was the other player I was going to mention. You played with him in Colorado. John, of course, played in Clan's first season, played with Mr. Haywood as well. Did John play a part in persuading you to come to Glasgow as well?
I certainly did reach out to him. I played with John. I'm not sure if it was quite a full season with him either, but he was a skilled guy, a big skilled defenseman, and just the nicest guy you'll ever meet too. But I certainly reached out to him and asked the questions I needed or wanted to ask. And he was, spoke very positively of his experience there as well. So, I mean, that just helped in getting me here or getting me there as well.
Good stuff. Now, Matt, Jonesy is a guy to share the locker room with. He came to the club in 2013. When did you guys click? How did it click for you guys, the fact that you two knew that you were going to be good pals?
I think we're kind of similar people, aren't we? I think that like we're quite laid back. We didn't really take stuff too seriously, and we both liked to, well, used to anyway, used to like a good couple of beers after games and stuff. So, but I think Lusty used to live with Kyle and Heidi, and obviously Lusty's a bit more outgoing than anybody else ever. so he obviously knew me through Galby. Must have told him, Jake Albrecht must have told him to kind of like, I was okay. I think so. Obviously I started hanging out with Shane, and then coincidentally, I was around at Heidi and Kyle's house and ended up being really good friends with everybody. Never left.
Now, that first season, you were with us, Jonesy, 2013-14, Ryan Finnerty's first season as well. I think we're all agreed it was very much a breath of fresh air around the club after what had happened the season before that Kevin had alluded to. Just from a playing point of view, I'll ask you two guys, how good was it, being able to play for a team that was doing so well and everybody just got along so well?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a surprise for all of us. And, we had the skill starting the year and, the players to be really good, but we also had a lot of turnovers start. We lost, a handful of guys that were, projected to be impact players on the team. But that said, Finner also turned around and replaced them really well with guys like Joe Cullen. And, I would assume that at that point in time, it was the most skilled team that the Clan had ever seen. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think while we kind of came out of nowhere, to, you know, make the Final Four and beat Nottingham like we did in the playoffs. I think it was a little bit of a surprise for a lot of people, but, you know, for us with the skill that we had, Ed McGrain, Ash Goldie, you know, guys like that, it wasn't really a surprise for us.
Matt?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it was probably the most skillful team. If we had a little bit more of an edge, I think we would have probably done something great. I know we had Frankie and stuff, but we kind of maybe relied a bit too much on Frankie, especially when it came to Nickerson and stuff. But yeah, like I say, it was a surprise package. The fact that how much momentum we carried, like the season 1, 2, 3, we were getting. Start off about 600 fans, and then by start of season three, we're maybe 1,500, and then obviously we had that slight big momentum shift where by Christmas that was the first year I think we sold out the arena, and every game we were getting 3,000, and it was a changing point of the clan, I think, that season definitely just started going up and up and up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was just going to make that point, Kevin. That was a game changer for the clan, that the team that Ryan had brought in, coupled with the more fans that were coming into the building too.
Yeah, I mean, interesting to hear the guys' sort of perspective from in the locker room. It certainly felt, you know, to me and probably to the fans, that it was a bit of a turning point for the club. We'd gone from being a start-up team, a new franchise, kind of trying to find our feet a little bit, not having great success on the ice. And then that season, lots of things changed on the ice, off the ice, a lot of really positive player personnel changes as well. And it just kind of felt as if a corner turned and lots of the Glasgow community got behind it, started to understand what the sport was about. And
I think also what helped there was about the time where Rangers got deducted and got relegated, like, two or three, I think, so that really helped us out, I think.
Yeah, it probably
I wonder
did.
Where you're going with that, Matt. I wonder where you're going with that.
No, I'm just saying it helped our fan base out, right. I think, because a lot of fans wasn't going to the football on a Saturday, so they were looking for other things to do, and especially with a family. Sorry to interrupt, Kev. Don't try and make it out like I'm a...
No, that's what I was going
to say.
I think there's always that thing about... There's one thing about getting a fan to turn up once, that's relatively easy to do. The tricky thing is getting a fan to come back a second time and a third time and really get some stickiness to their relationship with the club. And I think we had a team on the ice that was entertaining and looked as though they were going to do something. And that really captured people's imagination. And as Matt mentioned, that momentum started to build. One capacity crowd turned into two and then three, and then it kind of became the norm. And you know, it was a great time to be around the club.
Certainly was. One game that sticks out, it's probably the most obvious game of that season, the playoff quarter final, the second leg against the Panthers, the clan winning that one to confirm a place in the Final Four weekend. You just need to see my commentary. I was crazily embarrassed by that commentary when I look back on it now. But guys, playing in that game, the noise in the arena that night, is that a game that sticks out for you for that reason?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I think it was a bit of a surprise around the league and maybe even to ourselves in that for that series at least, that we, you know, kind of beat them pretty handily in two straight games. And I'm fairly certain they had a full roster as well. So I think that going to the that game at home to go to the Final Four for the first time was, you know, momentous for this team. And I remember Nottingham scoring early and my heart sinking a little bit, but you know, guys just buckled down and, you know, took it to them the rest of the game. And what was it, 5-1 that game final score? Yeah. So it's a great memory.
Matt, same for you, but a big memory of your time at the club, the noise and the atmosphere that night, just unlike anything we'd seen before prior to that.
Yeah, I think we played Nottingham. Definitely played them once, maybe even twice prior to that in playoffs. And both times we were up going into the second leg. I think we played at home the first leg both times. We were up, I think the first time we were up by 3 and then the second time we were up by 1 or something. And we just went down there and got beat once in overtime, I think. But anyway, they blew us out. So, and then we scored, like Jonesy said, they scored earlier, and everyone just thought, oh, here we go. but I think the big difference was being at home, and fans kind of got behind us, and we got a team that would obviously, we, as we've said before, it was the first time where in the clan, I felt in the clan, maybe apart from the Bruce era, that we could not just compete with the top teams, but we could beat these top teams easily.
Now, this has just came to mind, and I don't have the information in front of me. I'm going by memory, which isn't the most reliable. I seem to remember that game. There was a penalty called against you, Jonesy. I think it was illegal equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Nottingham tried something. Yeah. And I think, in fairness to them, it came off for them. It didn't make much of a difference in the general scheme of things. Something to do with your stick, is that right?
That's right, yeah. And I forgot about that. It was a
stick. Something, was it?
Yeah, it was an illegal curve on the stick. And it was a stick I've been using, you know, most of the year. And, you know what, kudos to Craig Kowalski, who was Nottingham's goalie at the time. He was the one who knew, because he used to use those sticks. He knew they were, you know, the slightest, tiniest little hair, you know, illegal, I guess. And they waited till...
It doesn't help when Nottingham's equipment guy was ordering our equipment.
For that, you know, that could be part of it too. Yeah, but no, I do remember that. And they waited for the perfect time. It was second period when we got a penalty, and then they called it to put us down 5-on-3 in the middle of the second period. Oh yeah, we killed it. And you know, I mean, kudos to them. It was a good strategy move. Just didn't pay off for them, thankfully.
That's right. I seem to remember I was commentating on the game, and there was a long discussion about it. And Tom Darnell, if I think, was the referee. Apologies, Tom, if it wasn't you. There was a long discussion about it. I think even one of them had to go and get the equipment to measure the stick to make sure as well. What was going through your mind, Jonesy?
I, you know, like I said, I've been using that stick for the majority of the year, and so I just assumed it was.
You knew it was illegal.
It's what they gave me when I got there. You can look back as a red and white stick. It was a stick that just was like. they had a bunch of, so I was using them throughout the year. It felt good, so I just assumed it was fine, and clearly I was wrong.
Good stuff. And of course, we all remember the song that the fans sung for you, Jonesy, Casey and the Sunshine Band. Here's a little start for you. Now, do you other guys, do you know what was the number one in the UK when you were born? Kevin?
I do, actually.
Right.
It was, I'm going to forget the song now, but it was an old Elvis Presley song.
Right.
Okay. Can't remember the title. It'll come back to me.
Matt?
I'm looking it up right now.
Cheater.
I'll tell you mine. It was a group called The Floaters, who had a song called Float On. I've never heard it in my life. I wouldn't know it if somebody played it to me now. So that was number one when I was born, which might give me an idea of my age. Matt, you got yours yet?
Cliff Richard, Saviour's Day.
1990. Christmas. Right. Christmas. Kyle Jones, I had a look at this. 22nd of August, 1983. Am I correct?
That's correct.
UK number one between the 13th of August, 83 and the 3rd of September. Casey and the Sunshine Band, Give It Up. Would you believe it?
That's incredible. What made you look that up?
That is the most random piece of journalism,
right?
but I love it.
I tell you how I remember. I remember that song being out round about that time, and I thought, right, I'm going to look this up just randomly. I thought I'd look it up. I saw your date of birth on your Elite Prospects page. I thought, I wonder. And I said to my wife, I wonder if that was number one when Jones was born. There it was. I don't think it did so well anywhere else. It did well over here. It was number one here. So there you go.
That's amazing.
That's fate, one to take.
That's fate.
But I know that's great. You love that song, Jones. And again, we spoke on the podcast last year for Matt's testimonial. You can't hear it without hearing your name in there anymore, can you?
No, I can't. You know, I don't think it's played here as much as it is there, but I certainly do get reminders, typically around playoff finals weekend time, of, you know, fans sending videos of, you know, the crowded bars singing it. So it's just such a nice tribute. And I love getting those messages, you know, at least once a year.
And of course, they played it for you last year when you came back as well, didn't they?
That's right. How good was that? Yep. No, good feeling. So nice to be back on the ice.
He wasn't good saying that after. He's saying that right now. He was dying.
Oh, not good. Not good after.
I'm just going to ask you, coming up to Matt's testimonial, were there sort of performance anxieties creeping in? Do you think and the other guys started, you know, picking up the pace a bit and doing some conditioning or whatever?
Well, leading up to it, I certainly didn't. I probably should have. I think I was on the ice maybe once the entire year prior. I knew it was going to be like a little more competitive thing too, but I was just begging Wilsey, hey, Wilsey, you want to play the majority? I'll play a period, I guess. You know, do you want to play the rest? But no, it was fine. It was fun. Got to make a save or two, so that's what I'm happy about.
He's just being modest. He was as good as ever, wasn't he? He was one of the. This is the thing with Jonesy, though. Like, is that if he had that type of style where you couldn't tell if he was working hard or not, and I mean that in the nicest way ever. He was just so solid, and he made every save look easy. He was never scrambling around or whatever like that. That's what I mean. So when it comes to a testimonial, when he's retired, he looks the same old Jonesy. Although underneath, he was breathing a bit heavier than what he normally would do. I could say that.
I was never in good enough shape to scramble around.
he used to scramble around. This is my one bone to pick with Jonesy. This is the reason why I came on today. Oh. Is because, and it ties into the scramble around thing. Do you know what I'm going to say, Jonesy?
No.
When I used to get, we had a couple of injuries and stuff, and maybe I would had a chance of playing on the power play that weekend or whatever. Jonny would practice power play. He knows now. He would practice power play on a Friday and he'd throw me in. So I was thinking, right, I've got to score here just to cement my place. And I'm like prime in the middle and I'm like, I've taken like probably the best shots I've ever taken, like probably going to go top quarter or stuff ever. And Jones is flying across like just the most ridiculous save. And I go over and I'm like, Jonesy, I'm like, we're supposed to be friends. Come on. He's like, I'm sorry, man. So then I get booted out because I'm not scoring. And he puts somebody else in and he takes a little flubber and Jonesy misses it. So I'm just like, right, I'm not speaking to you for the rest of the day.
I do remember that. I don't know what it was. Something about you getting in there. You just
made him the best goalie in the world. Yeah. And I'd like, during the shift, I'd like be ripping him and he'd just like fly across save and I just did a little chuckle under his helmet as well and it used to just grind me. I forgot about that. I used to skate past him. What are you doing?
Glad you got that one.
Because we're so close, you know, I couldn't let you score.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Just bounce. Yeah. Just for the bounce.
And, of course, you came back for the Wall of Fame night as well, Jonesy. You were getting inducted on the Wall of Fame behind. I remember that night you were sitting not too far from me along with Chris Holt, who was the current Clan goalie. He wasn't playing that night. He was injured. What was it like sort of chatting to him about, you know, shared experiences being at the club and things like that? I'm assuming that's what you talked about anyway.
Yeah. We really talked about, you know, how the season was going for him and how the Champions League and all that stuff went. You know, that was, I can't believe that was 4 years ago already now, maybe even longer. Mm. But it was nice to meet him. I'd never met him before. He had been through, you know, he reached the top level that everyone tries to, you know, make. So he's had some really good experience. It was nice to meet a guy like that and kind of talk shop for a little bit.
You mentioned the Champions Hockey League. That was the year you retired, 2015. I think I've asked you this before, and I can't quite remember your answer. Did you ever consider staying on for that one last season to at least play in the CHL and get a feel of what that was all about?
Do you remember? I'll just answer this. Do you remember his speech at my host? Craig.
No, I'm struggling. No, go on.
that answers the question.
No, yeah, I did. I was, you know, I took the summer to, you know, think about where we were at. Heidi and I did, that is, to see if we wanted to, like, essentially if we wanted to do another year if it was time to hang them up. And ultimately we decided we'd like to come back for another year. You know, Finner had extended the offer you know, after that second season I was there. So we just took a little time. We took a month or two to figure it out if that's what we wanted to do. And yeah, figured we would be, you know, it's a good opportunity to, you know, come back and, you know, participate in the Champions Hockey League. And, you know, we had such a good time and we know, you know, most of the guys were coming back anyways too. So we're going to have, you know, another good squad to make a run at it. So it didn't work out, unfortunately. Changes were made at the top levels of management and they wanted to move on, unfortunately. But I mean, that's a business. It's, you know, it was what it was, and it just showed that it wasn't meant to be and it was my time to be done.
Fair enough. Right, we've got a question from one of the fans. Scott Devon is asking, how many players from around the league do you still keep in contact with and have a drink with?
Around the league? Oh, I guess everybody I actually do keep in touch with are essentially from my time with the Clan. Matt, obviously, we text, you know, up once a week, it seems like, maybe once every couple of weeks. I'm in a few group chats, one with the Matt's on. Along with Ash Goldie, Scott Arson, Sammy Zajac, and Shane Lust. So that's one that's, you know, semi-active. Every little while we'll check in with each other. And then actually another one that Shane Lust is on as well, but with Matt Keith and Stefan Meyer. So we're on a group chat, and it's actually pretty active because our four wives are also in it. So yeah, those are essentially the groups of guys that I've been keeping in touch with over the past, you know, I'd say a couple of years.
Good stuff. Well, we'll start to wrap things up shortly, Jonesy. I'm obviously mindful of the fact you are in your working day, even though you are working at home. How are things where you are right now? Obviously, this pandemic is hit everybody quite hard. How's it been where you are?
Yeah, Chicago has been hit pretty hard. Cases are, you know, still skyrocketing around here. And unfortunately, it hasn't really been contained. So, we're not necessarily in a full lockdown right now, but, you know, we're being cautious about it and making sure we follow all the rules and try not to leave the house to do anything unless we really need to. Just trying to, you know, it's been 9 months. What's another few months, hopefully, and just wait it out. Hopefully get to a point where we're all back to normal.
Indeed so. Right. Well, I think it's time to wrap it up there, guys. Thank you so much for that. Just usual kind of thing just to wrap up. This week's Clan Classics is from 4 years ago when Clan took on the Fife Flyers in a pre-Christmas showdown, a night where the Flyers fans were singing Let's Go Shopping as they were trying to hide their pre-mark in Marks and Spencer's bags under their seats. Shirts off the back, tickets are also available. You could be the lucky owner of one of those. Keep your eye on Clan social media for information. Check out the social media as well for the bumper 50-50 Christmas draw taking place on Boxing Day at 9 p.m. You could be the lucky winner of a lovely cash prize. I'm back next week for another Clan chat. Further details to follow on that one. Guys, thank you so much. Kevin, good to see you as always.
And you, Craig.
Matt, thank
good
you for your time.
Jonesy as well. Good to see Jonesy as well. Have a great Christmas, Jonesy.
You too, Kevin. Thank you.
And Matt, good to see you as always. Hope the kids are okay.
Yeah, good.
And very Jenny good. As well.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh, yeah, she's fine.
Good stuff. And Jonesy, great to catch up with you again. Hopefully, we'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, really great to see you guys. Thanks for having me. Everyone have a great holidays. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. In the meantime, stay safe, wear a mask, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.